Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming.
David Culley has been fired. What's next? We're reacting with you now.
I loved every minute of it, Mark. I mean, every minute. I did not like the losses. Nobody likes the losses, but I love this job. And again, like you said, I don't consider this work. You know, I know sometimes whenever you don't win enough ball games, people say, and I have people talking about like they're feeling sorry for me. Feel sorry for me? Do you know what I do? I'm the head coach of the Houston Texans, you know, regardless of what the record is. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that was Monday. Not anymore. David Culley out as the head coach of the Houston Texans. As of 2 o'clock this afternoon was when he reportedly met with his team and met with his coaching staff, I should say. Met with the staff and David Culley out as head coach. So we've got Seth Payne. We've got Clint Sterner. And we are with you. I'm Sean Pendergast. And sorry, we're getting some things arranged in the studio here. David Culley out as Texans head coach, fired. Not a big surprise, guys. We knew this was something that was coming down the pipe. Thursday and Friday was sort of the target time frame that had been reported for this. And now we are on to another Texans head coaching search. But Clint, I'll start with you, your initial reactions. Of course, we've heard your reactions throughout the afternoon here, but for those who are just tuning in,
yeah,
you were on the air when this came down earlier today.
Yeah, obviously not surprised. You know, I think there's a couple of things here for me is what we witnessed throughout the year. Even all things considered with the organization, the state of the organization, the dysfunction I'm speaking of, the 4-13 season, the losing, the roster turnover, all those things. Besides all that, put all that aside and understanding all of that, you know, I just think David Culley fell well short of the bar of the expectations of what you're you know, you expect out of a low level, if you will, because it is a rebuilding organization, head coach. And I don't think those things were viewed lightly by Nick Caserio. And so I think it's one, I think it's very justifiable. Two, Sean, I said this earlier, man, you and I've had this conversation before. I just love the sense of urgency that Nick Caserio operates with. He clearly made a mistake here. He's clearly made a mistake with players before, and his ability to accept it and move on in pretty quick fashion is, to me, I think it bodes well for this rebuild.
Yeah, I think that, the one thing that I've noticed I've had to do when I've gone on in other markets is explain that I don't think there's a single person in Houston anywhere that blames David Culley for the current state of the Texans, you know, other than a few little things here and there. But as far as the mess that they're in, like, that's all a Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair joint. So it's not that, hey, oh, it's awesome that David Culley got fired. I think most people are feeling like, okay, I guess this was part of the plan, or at least you expected him to be gone at some point. But why should we trust you to hire the next guy? I think personally, my concern is that I think that the most obvious scenario is that they hired David Culley believing that he probably wouldn't be the long-term solution. Maybe they were open to it, but that at some point they'd move on. I almost wonder if these two guys who came out of New England have such low regard for non-Belichick coaches that they thought they could just slap any dude in there and it wouldn't be an embarrassment. There were times this year where Culley was so ridiculously out of his league that I don't know how anybody could have sat in a room with him over a couple of interviews and thought, oh yeah, this is the guy that we should handle. This is the guy we should have handle our business for the next year to possibly 2 years.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with the whole thing. I mean, and we'll get into, you know, was it fair? Did the organization botch the way they handled it? All those things. At its core, this is somebody who is not good at their job, who got let go because he's not good at his job. And I don't say David Culley wasn't bad at his job because they were 4-13. He was bad at his job because he did nothing to improve the probability that they would become anything better than 4-13. It's a 4-13, or it's, you know, maybe, you know, it's a roster that's a 3-5 win roster. They didn't win the four games because of David Culley, but there were plenty of games that they would have been given a much better chance to win with a different head coach. In the end of the day, there was just nothing about him that screamed head coach. When you ask, why is David Culley a good head coach? The only answers people could come up with was what a nice guy he is. Yeah. I mean, that's to me. And so if you talk about, boy, he's getting treated unfairly, and boy, and the Texans are getting killed for this right now, but they get killed for everything right now. They got killed when they lowered ticket prices a couple of weeks ago. So they're getting killed for it right now, and they've put themselves in this spot. They've earned all the scorn and all the ridicule they're getting, but I don't have any remorse or pity or sympathy for a guy who's going to get paid somewhere between $8 and $22 million, depending on what report you read, who was bad at his job for a year. I just
right,
don't.
But and I think though that and that's where the distinction is. Like this, I feel very much like this is a local. I feel like people locally and Texans fans are reacting to this way different than the stuff you're reading on Twitter from national opinion givers and everything. And that doesn't mean that people in Houston are cool or happy about the way it's being conducted or whether they trust Nick Caserio or not. But I don't think many Texans fans feel like it was an incredible injustice that David Culley was fired.
Yeah.
I would say that that's got to be the vast minority of Texans fans. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I know there are a few that are adamant that, hey, he had the same record as Romy. But that's another thing that's bothered me. They're saying, hey, he won four games when the Texans last year couldn't win four games with Deshaun Watson. All right, well, are you criticizing Romeo Crennel? Like, oh, is this a Romeo Crennel bash party? Because that wasn't Bill O'Brien, you remember.
Right.
I think there's a stark divide here. There's very few people who have watched this team closely the entire year who feel that Culley should be the guy moving forward and that, hey, yeah, he's going to get everything under control. And you got to remember, too, of some of the stuff that we've been able to witness publicly, they've had to witness in the building and figure out whether they want to go on another year or not. And then the big part of this is we just have no idea. Maybe they've got the next coach already hired.
Well,
you know, they got to go through all the formalities, but they might just have the guy that they wanted all along in the fold and ready to go.
And we'll go through the candidates and the leaders in the clubhouse and things like that. We'll do that in the next segment. But I'm excited to be doing this show. And if you're just tuning in and you're wondering, boy, the guys are on the air right now. Yeah, this is sort of an emergency show here. It's a special show here on Sports Radio 610 to give you as much depth and insight as we can on the firing of David Culley from earlier today. That's why I'm excited about doing this next hour with the two of you guys as former players. I think I heard you kind of touching on this at various points during your show today, Clint, was as the news came down about David Culley getting fired. And Seth, I think you're kind of alluding to this as well, which is, yeah, we see all the press conferences and we see the games the decisions made in game and stuff like that. I always think it's unfair to guys who are doing their job well or doing their job right at the level they're expected or whatever the case may be, when people in prominent positions who are clearly not qualified to do their job, especially when they're controlling the welfare of those players, is put in that position. And that's really what I wonder is, how bad did it get behind the scenes for guys who are watching David Culley in meetings and during games going,
well, I expect they're about to be back, and I expect us to get
rolling their eyes, you know?
Well, I think it's twofold for me. I think there are a handful of players, and I don't want to speak for Seth, but I was a lower-level player. There was no way in hell I was ever going to worry about Dave Campo's game management. I just wanted to pick up a check on Tuesday and make sure there wasn't a red tag in my locker on Wednesday. You know
right.
that? So, but you go to the Mark Ingrams of the world, the Brandon Cooks of the world, and it's hard to ignore. It's hard for me to put myself in a place where I believe those guys ignore. They're walking out there every Sunday, and their head coach wasn't making one to two decisions every Sunday afternoon that wasn't putting them in the best position to win ball games. Secondly, real quick, there's the from the Caserio's perspective, same point, but from Caserio's perspective. Like, his expectations has to be for the head coach to win more of those game-time decisions than lose them, because the players are expecting him to fill all of those voids with the right people, with capable people, with competent people. And so whether you're a player or you're the GM, I think you can look back at David Culley, and he just wasn't capable of the day-to-day, game-to-game, week-to-week duties at the lowest level of head coach in the NFL.
Yeah. As far as how the players might respond to him, I just think back to a time we had a defensive coordinator 1 year in Jacksonville, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the guy because he's a hell of a guy, and he's like, he was really honestly like David Culley in a lot of regards. Well, I'll say it because I'm not going to be mean to him. I'm going to say it how it was. It was Gary Moeller. He was an awesome, you know, Gary Moeller was at Michigan, had an issue. He got out of Michigan. You know, he's a position coach in the NFL for a little while. But he was an awesome guy. Gave a hell of a pep talk. Hell of a pep talk. But we'd be in meetings, and it was so clear that he did not understand NFL football and that he was so out of his league that it got hard to operate. Because then the assistant coaches start feeling like basically – telling you, like, all right, let's ignore what he's saying. We'll take care of this later, you know. And everybody's trying to be respectful. Everybody's a good guy, but it's very clear that it's not the right thing, and it's not going to work out. And I think he only lasted 1 year as a defensive coordinator. And I could kind of get a sense that maybe I could see it being like that with David Culley. That it to guys who play the game, sometimes it just becomes really evident that a guy's in out of his element. And I don't think, you know, Clint, Dave Campo at least had been a coordinator before, you know, and I think like he probably, he's no Tom Landry or anything, but I think that it's probably a bigger gap between Dave Campo in some respects and David Culley than just a tit for tat deal.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. There's the level of respect when Campo got the job in Dallas was already higher than it's ever been for David Culley in Houston from the locker room's perspective. And so, yeah, Seth, when you say that, I mean, I have had experiences in different, like in Europe 1 year, we had a head coach that was a quarterback coach and an offensive minded coach that would do things week. We only played 10 games, but would do things week in, week out that as a player that was playing and my contract was dependent on it, I would sit in rooms with quote unquote veterans and go, man, what the hell are we doing here? Why was that decision made?
Yeah.
You know? And so I agree with you. I thinking back, there have been a few times that I've been in position to just go, boy, you don't have a whole lot of confidence in the head guy that's making the decisions on game day.
Well, and I think the biggest thing is if you look at David Culley, if you figure, oh, he's a CEO type or something, he's got an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. There are still like important decisions to be made where the head coach is supposed to have perspective on things and a certain wisdom that his coordinators might not. And that's how you end up making the right decisions or helping guide your coordinators to the right decision. When he just openly said in his coach's show on Monday that, you know, when he came at halftime in the Titans game, he just didn't know what to say or do, you know, and then it almost sounds like, yeah. It sounds like he was completely at a loss as to even offer any of those suggestions. He also admitted this week that he had never really he was just now learning that going up tempo can. Clint, I know that had to have dropped.
Oh, I mean,
because I know you and I differ a little bit because I'm a defensive guy where I'm like, okay, up tempo is good, but you know, don't just slow down a little bit. But yeah, but to be not aware at all of the concept or the notion, that's just insane.
Yep. All right, we got special programming for you tonight. David Culley fired as the Texans head coach, one and done. The first one and done candidate or first one and done head coach in the history of the franchise. So the franchise is now on the search for their fifth full-time head coach in the history of the team. Who are the leading prospects in the clubhouse right now? And who are some dark horse candidates whose names we might begin to hear as the Texans embark on their search to replace David Culley? We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. I'm Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, Clint Sterner along the way, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Ron the Show Hughley, Wade Smith. We'll be by as well as we're with you here till 9 o'clock. Special coverage of David Culley fired as the Houston Texans head coach. We'll drop some of you in as well. 713-572-4610. Stay there. You're listening to Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming. David Culley has been fired. What's next? We're reacting with you now.
Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner, and Seth Payne, and the rest of the gang will be along the way between now and 9 o'clock tonight. It is special programming here on Sports Radio 610. David Culley fired as the head coach of the Houston Texans. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Two names have come up, guys, prominently here, and neither of them are a surprise. Jerod Mayo, inside linebackers coach, reported earlier today by Adam Schefter to be the leading candidate for the job. Aaron Wilson, who's been covering the Texans here for a long, long time in town, he is saying that Brian Flores is the top candidate. It shocks me not at all that either of them would be at or near the top, given the Patriot ties and given the given how well thought of both are, for different reasons. You know, Flores has some experience as a head coach. Jerod Mayo is thought to be a rising star. Seth, I'll start with you. Do you have a preference in the clubhouse right now as far as candidates for this head coaching job?
I'm totally 100% too much influenced by Mike Vrabel's relative success early on here. In that I'm starting to wonder if, just as Bill Belichick seems to choose assistant coaches who generally go on to be lackluster or maybe mediocre head coaches. Flores, we just don't know because he didn't get a chance to really work it all out. He does seem to choose linebackers that are like awesome dudes. That's what I'll say. Everybody talks about Jerod Mayo as a guy that's not just really bright football-wise, but that he's just kind of that classic leader of men personality, which is what people said about Mike Vrabel. I always take that with a grain of salt, Clint, because you never know. You never know for sure. The thing that I'm a little bit nervous about with Jerod Mayo is that he's, unlike Vrabel, he hasn't gone out and coached at several different places, kind of seen what it's like elsewhere, and that maybe he's a little too ingrained in that New England way.
Yeah, I relate it back to some of the Hall of Famers that I got a chance to cross paths with, and that I consider not just great players, but true Hall of Famers and leaders of men and guys that would be a great football coach if they chose to go into that. And I like the Troy Aikman, one of them. It would be a huge jump for the Troy Aikman I knew playing ball to go, okay, in a year or two, you're going to be a head coach of a franchise. And yeah. So I don't know Jerod Mayo. I don't know, you know, anything about the guy. I think going from a 2 or 3 year stint of coaching linebackers to a head coach and the responsibilities that come with being the head coach of any organization, much less an organization like this that has a lot more issues than they do positives for a head coach, I think that's just a huge stretch that I would prefer not to make, to be honest with you.
The difference between, I think, like in the NBA, you know, you see some guys go very quickly into a head coaching role. The number of guys that you're dealing with on an NBA team, and especially the number of guys who actually matter on an NBA team, you know, your first 7, 8, 9 guys on the roster are the guys that really matter. You're dealing with a certain small number of, you know, potential personal issues, dilemmas, different wants and needs, all those things. On a football team, it's not just the X's and O's. It's that all of a sudden you're leaping into educating, mentoring, and leading 53 guys plus a practice squad plus everything else. And I think that takes a little bit of time to learn those skills. You know, so Mayo's only been a coach for 3 years. Has he learned enough over the course of that time and what coaching, actually coaching in the NFL is all about? I'm skeptical of that. But I'm also burned out on guys like Brian Flores who sound a lot like they're – I know everybody says he's his own guy, but, man, it sounds like he's trying to be Bill Belichick, and it freaks me out a little bit.
That would be very surprising if they brought a personality like we've heard Brian Flores described into the building a year after replacing Bill O'Brien with a guy who I think the main – I honestly think, and especially now looking back at David Culley and what he was as a head coach – I got to believe the main reason he was hired in the first place was because he's not Bill O'Brien. He's got an opposite personality to what had just engulfed that building over the previous 2 or 3 years.
Well, you know what? I hope for whatever reason they hired him and however long they thought that David Culley was going to be around, I hope that they learned that you better not hire a guy that you think is a pushover just be for one of the, like, as a positive that he's going to do your bidding. Like, you want pushback, man. If you don't want pushback, then you don't belong in the role. Like, you want somebody that's going to challenge you, because sometimes, and I think Caserio is like this, sometimes you're going to be wrong, and you need somebody to say, no, I'm standing up on this one. You're wrong. So I've got faith right now just because, you know, Belichick wanted guys like that. I would imagine that I don't think Caserio has a need to hire guys like with a Culley-like personality.
Yeah, I think that's the question, right? I agree with you, Seth, that there's got to be whatever kind of pushback it is, whatever form that comes in, I'm fine with. But there's got to be some kind of pushback. I think the big question here, especially in Houston, right, is what kind of leader does Nick Caserio really want to be? I mean, does Nick Caserio, because all we know outside of Belichick's nest is what we've experienced with Caserio over Culley. And the question is do we really believe that Caserio wants to essentially step on the coach's toes on the field and on game day in the press box?
Be as hands-on as it appeared he was on game day.
Or does he want a guy, Seth, to your point, that'll give you a little more pushback and will say, no, I got this. I'm going to handle this. I don't need any input. I'd like for your help here or over here, not in this area. Yeah. You know, that's a big part of this that we won't know until the season starts, until he hires somebody. But I do think it's an important conversation to have.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people have said, well, nobody's going to want that job for various reasons. But one of the objections people bring up is just that. They're that most really highly sought after coaching candidates aren't going to want that. Caserio, perhaps in his ear. I do think that there are more guys that would want that than people think. Football has gone the way of baseball and basketball analytically. It's starting to. It'll never be the same as those sports. But, you know, Doug Peterson had the GM in his – or had the analytics people in his ear while he was making decisions, helping with play calling. I think that they're probably going to hire somebody that they think is kind of like an A.J. Hinch type. A.J. Hinch allowed the front office to be involved in a way that a lot of old school baseball managers wouldn't have wanted. But A.J. understood the value of the analytics, but he also understood the human side. And I think that's what they need. They need – Clint, I said this morning, it's like an engineer who's got good people skills. Like, those guys make a boatload of money.
Yes.
Because the engineers need this engineer to talk to those dumb people over there. And us dumb people need translation for those weirdo engineers. I think that's what they're hoping to get. And maybe one of those two guys is that or somebody else.
I put up approval polls for the candidates on Twitter, as I'm wont to do. Of these two candidates, Gerard Mayo and Brian Flores, the two leaders in the clubhouse per reports, one has an 88% or 85% approval rating. The other has a 44% approval rating among Texan fans. Oh. You know, yes or no, would you approve this hire? Which one do you think has the 85% approval rating?
Flores has got to have the 85.
It's got to be Flores by name brand appeal and just like the perception that he's done a better job than expected.
It's Flores. Yeah, Flores. 85% of people voting. Several hundred people have voted in it. 85% say they would approve of the hire of Brian Flores right now.
Yeah, I think my only concern with Brian Flores, guys, is the offensive struggles that Miami had, both at the quarterback position, finding the right guy, the way they handled the quarterback position, shuffling it. I think they had, Sean, you may know this, I'm sure you do. Hell, I don't know why I ever doubt it, but I think Tua has been asked to learn three different offenses.
He's had three different. There have been, well, he's only been there 2 years, but Flores himself in 3 years has had three different coordinators.
Gotcha. There you go. So, you know, that in itself is an absolute cluster. I mean, knowing that now, because I didn't even pay that close attention to what Flores and what Miami was doing to get that deep off in the weeds. But to think that they won 10 games 1 year and 9 games the next year with that going on and what we saw going on at the quarterback position, to me, that's crazy to think they could win at that, because that is a major, major concern.
I'm really glad you brought that up, Clint, because the other thing that Miami was atrocious with this year was the offensive line. And it's like, for all the this Texans offensive line improved in certain ways, in some ways, I guess. And over the last couple of years, at least the pass blocking hasn't been as bad as the run blocking, which is really, really bad. But we shouldn't expect Flores to come in and all of a sudden wave his magic wand over everything and hire his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years, basically, and all of a sudden get the offense right.
All right, that's Seth Payne, Clint Sterner. I'm Sean Pendergast. Special programming for you here on a Thursday night. David Culley fired earlier this afternoon. Tim Kelly fired as well as the offensive coordinator, which brings me to our next segment. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to work some of you, and we got a nice long segment coming up headed towards the top of the hour, and the rest of the 610 folks will be by between now and 9 o'clock as well here on Sports Radio 610. David Culley was not great on game day. There was one other thing that the team reportedly didn't think he was very good at as well that was his undoing. We will tell you what that is. We'll take your phone call, 713-572-4610. Special programming, the firing of David Culley tonight, and the other failing of David Culley is up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 610 Special Programming. David Culley has been fired. What's next? We're reacting with you now.
Reacting to the firing of David Culley, Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner and Seth Payne. Rest of the crew will be by between now and 9 o'clock. Rest of the on-air crew plus Wade Smith will be by between now and 9 o'clock. We've kind of dissected the reasons behind the firing for David Culley, where his failings were, game management, on-the-field stuff. As it turns out, you know, they say the undoing for head coaches can be hiring. Are they good at hiring? As it turns out, the one thing David Culley was not good at was firing. In fact, he wanted to bring back his entire staff, and that reportedly, according to Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network, became a great point of contention internally with the Texans. Here was David Culley following the game on Sunday about, do you expect your staff to be back next year?
Well, I expect everybody to be back, and I expect us to get better at everything that we're doing, you know, from, not just from the run game, but our pass game, get better on defense, get better on special teams. I think overall, you know, we just got to get better in all areas, and looking forward to going through that this offseason, self-evaluating ourselves and figuring out what we need to do to get better and then move forward with it.
I mean, there's not a single box he checked where you go, yep, sounds like a head coach to me. You were 4-13, dude. 4-13. You're picking third in the draft. You were 32nd in a lot of metrics offensively. Nope. Bringing everybody back. And you know who that would make? If I were a player, I would be pissed at that.
Yeah.
That you're bringing everybody back on the coaching staff, because continually, especially on the offensive side of the ball throughout the year, Culley would blame it on execution, not coaching throughout the year. That would make me really mad if I were a player. But it's not their problem anymore. David Culley gone.
I think the biggest thing is just the notion as a head coach, you know, you don't go through a season like that without expecting to have some conversations with the GM about possibly changing things. That's the part that was really strange to me. I mean, stuff happens all the time. You get to the end of the year, you realize it might not be discussed until the end of the year, but then a couple days after the season's over, a couple guys get let go, and it's kind of quiet because they're just position coaches on a bad team, and nobody really thinks about it. I thought that alone was just his kind of complete and total ignorance about the way the NFL actually operates. After being in the NFL for decades, I get upset because I feel like even if it was the plan to hire a bridge coach, I feel like they still botched that. I think if you hire a bridge coach, you want somebody that's going to at least try to put a good face on things as much as possible. But there were times where it was just the height of absurdity. And frankly, they're lucky they did it in Houston, Texas, because I think for the most part, people try to be polite about it. You don't just want to flat come out and insult somebody's intelligence when – I mean, there's times when you call somebody a stupid football coach, but then there's a time to back off and not use verbiage like that. And this was one of those times.
Yeah.
Seth, I wonder, you've mentioned the botched, you know, the hiring, and this is something that from the jump, do you think that there were, like, it came down between David Culley and Jim Caldwell, or David Culley and Leslie Frazier? I mean, there is...
I heard you.
I'll let you answer that, because I can't make myself believe that they sat there and said, David Culley, no thanks, Jim Caldwell.
I think that, and I heard you and Show start to talk about this, and then I had to step out of the car, so I don't know exactly how it finished up. I think that guys like Leslie Frazier and other guys like that could have smelled what they were walking into. I don't know if Culley knew exactly what he was walking into. Maybe he did.
Right.
I know that, and that's one of the big questions. There's varying reports. There's the one report that he only had 2 years guaranteed on his contract,
yes,
which is not much at all by NFL head coach standards. There's the other report that says that he had 3 years, $22 million remaining on the contract? Like, big, big money.
17 remaining, and it would be 22 total for the life of the deal, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the part that I just don't know. Is exactly what they were thinking. I would be more freaked out if they actually thought that if their plan was genuinely David Culley. I'm freaked out by that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where some of the information that's leaking right now, I feel like the team might be trying to make themselves look better by saying, well, we were surprised at the end by his statements about, you know, coaching the staff and everything. I would be really, really nervous if this is anything but a bridge situation. Because, I don't know how you could have a two-hour conversation with that guy and think that he could handle the duties of a head coach.
Well, I don't know how you could have options and select that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe that take the coach out of the mix, take David Culley out of the mix, and leading up to that decision, if we really dig into what was going on in Houston when that particular hire was made, I do not have a – it's not very difficult for me to get to a point where I go, hell, nobody wanted this job but David Culley. Nobody was willing to take this job. And I'm not just talking about Nick Caserio being so hands-on.
Yep.
I'm talking about the Deshaun Watson situation. I'm talking about the depleted roster, the no salary cap, the no draft. I mean, you look at what – Jack Easterby still being in the building. Cal McNair and taking over and all the trust issues and that are there. I mean, it's not hard for me to get to a place real quick to think that they were down to very minimal options as a head coach at this time a year ago.
Yeah, and that's one thing I – no matter where you stand in the influence of Jack Easterby debate or what have you, because I know some people are dead set on saying that he doesn't have that much influence, even though the Texans themselves in their statement today said that Caserio and Easterby came to this decision. It's whether you agree with that, if you think it's fair, wrong, or right, it's a perception outside of Houston. And people in the NFL, when they ask and talk about the Texans, they want to know what the hell is up with this Easterby guy. So, yes, that's very much a part of candidates kind of vetting the place out.
Before we let some of the Texan fans sound off on the firing of David Culley, there are statements that have been put out by Nick Caserio, David Culley, and Cal McNair. So I want to hit Nick Caserio's statement and Cal McNair's statement specifically, because these are the ones that, especially Nick's, kind of give a little insight into the decisions, as much as a statement can. I'm sure Nick's going to meet with the media here at some point, and I'm sure he'll be on with us, Seth, on our show at some point as well to dive into it in a little more long form. Culley's statement is understandably classy and happy and wishing the Texans nothing but the best moving forward. Caserio's is the most interesting of the three, because here's what Nick Caserio said, a statement on the firing of David Culley. Earlier today, I met with David Culley and Tim Kelly to inform them we will be moving in a different direction at the head coach and offensive coordinator positions. I came to this difficult but necessary decision after reviewing our football operation. While a change after one season is unusual, we had philosophical differences over the long-term direction and vision for our program moving forward. We appreciate Coach Culley for helping us navigate through a difficult season, but it's my responsibility to make decisions that I feel are best for our organization. The search for the next head coach of the Houston Texans will begin immediately. That's not just some general statement saying we wish him well in his future endeavors. There is some, for a statement from the team, there is some specificity in there. One, I think it's interesting that Tim Kelly is lumped in with David Culley. And two, the differing philosophical views of things moving forward. That would seem to me to be an allusion to what Rappaport is talking about with respect to the coaching staff, and Culley bringing everybody back, and Nick Caserio saying, whoa, 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 time out.
Yeah, that was an interesting, because I do think there was something to the comments doubling and tripling down on basically the offensive coordinator being retained and almost in a stern manner.
Defiance, almost.
Yeah, like he's going to be here 100%. Yeah, he's going to be here.
Yeah.
You put management in a position at that point in time where if they were indeed – planning on moving in a different direction offensively, which was highly likely considering it was the worst offense in the league for multiple years now, you put him in a position that is – look, I don't know if they were going to move on from him or not, but you put him in a position where it's uncomfortable or it's –
You don't put Nicky in a corner, man.
Yeah, you don't put Nicky in a corner. That's right. Oh, man.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Yeah, what do you think, Seth?
I honestly, I'm just sitting here and I'm kind of impressed and scared all at the same time. If the Tom Pelissero report about them having paid David Culley $22 million overall is true, one, because I told you I'm nervous if they actually thought that he might actually be the guy. Two, that they're paying so much money to people no longer employed with the Texans.
They have been forever.
I mean, yeah, it is like it's almost like they're just single-handedly first trying to take down the notion that the McNairs don't want to spend money, because they're spending money on people that they're paying money to the estates of people. I'm not even sure if half these guys are alive anymore.
Well, Seth,
like all these assistant coaches that have gotten fired,
Seth,
head
I was,
coaches, GMs. It's amazing.
By the time they make this hire, they will have had as many head coaches with Jack Easterby in the building as they did during Bob McNair's entire time that he was alive as the owner of this team. Oh, they will have had more general managers since Jack Easterby walked into the building than they had during Bob McNair's entire time he was alive as the owner.
Wait till John Lopez gets a hold of that stat.
16 years Bob McNair was with us as the owner of the team, and in the last 2 to 3 years, they've had three head coaches. They're about to have three full-time head coaches, and they're on their third. They're on their third general manager. Yeah, Seth, you're right. It's been expensive chaos over there.
The NFL is accustomed to. I think sometimes we think about it as being so glaring when it happens on the coach or GM side. Well, meanwhile, they've got millions and millions in dead money on the actual players themselves every single year. But I do think, I really hope that somehow this was part of the master plan. It doesn't mean that they're executing the master plan the right way, but at least would mean that they might have a better chance of hiring the next guy the right way. If they earnestly thought that David Culley was going to be the guy, I mean, this was worse than the Ben McAdoo signing.
Yeah.
You know, this was worse in a lot of ways than some of the all-time worst coaching hires.
Especially because it was so unorthodox and didn't check any of the boxes going in.
You know? And that's, so I'm saying if they didn't have this in mind.
Yep. Real quick, and then we'll hit the phones. Cal McNair's statement: we're grateful for the energy and passion David brought to our organization throughout last season. We wish him, his wife Carolyn, and their family nothing but the best moving forward. I've entrusted Nick Caserio to lead football performance, and I have complete confidence he will find the best leader for our team. These decisions are difficult, but Nick believed it was necessary for the future of our organization. We look forward to continuing to build our roster and finding the right coach to lead us forward. Conspicuous by his absence in the Cal McNair statement.
Who?
Jack Easterby.
No question. I got to dig into these statements that have dropped.
Very
This is very interesting. I wonder if with the statements dropping, does that mean that the others on the offensive staff are safe?
I don't know. It's a good question. You know, we had seen that I think it was Rappaport who said we can expect some more changes.
And Sean, I think I must have misspoke earlier, because I start to look sometimes at like Ian Rappaport's tweets or other people when they cite sources. I almost view that like a Texans press release. So when one of those guys mentioned Easterby's name in it, I just assume, well, that's as good as a Texans press release.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, Clint Sterner with you. Special programming tonight if you're just tuning in. David Culley fired as the head coach of the Houston Texans. Tim Kelly fired as the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. Search is on for the fifth head coach in franchise history. To the phones we go, and in order of the longest wait, let's talk to Mac. Mac, you're up on special programming here tonight on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, guys, how you doing, man? It's good to talk to you. I listen to you every day, but
thank
it's the
you.
First time I got a chance to call it. You know, I think the Texans, I think they got exactly what they wanted. I mean, if he went, you know, they wanted a nice draft pick, a top pick, but if he went 0-16-17 and didn't look, I'm sorry to say, but look goofy or stupid doing it, I think they would have been okay with that. But I also think they – Like Clint was saying, they didn't want somebody, you know, that was going to stand up, stick up. You know, I don't know if y'all saw that Dave Chappelle keeping it real in the office, but they didn't want that. And he just looked so bad doing it. I mean, he couldn't have stayed at North Shore doing what he's doing and talking like he's talking. So that's all I got to say. But they wanted what they got, but they just didn't want him to look as bad doing it.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good way to put it. They wanted what they got, but they didn't want him to look as bad doing it. If you look back to when they hired Bo Porter, when the Astros hired Bo Porter, you know, I don't know if they thought it was going to, maybe at the beginning they thought it was going to work out with him long term, but Bo Porter ended up being the coach who was the coach of the Astros when they were going to be bad no matter what. yet he did it with a certain level of dignity. You know, even as the S was doing a lot of stuff that angered a lot of people, I mean, with the charities and some of that stuff like that. Bud Norris was pissed off about a rookie taking a bullpen, all this nonsense. Bo Porter at least kind of ran a tight ship. David Culley, it was not that same appearance. So I really think they just undershot on. They didn't expect David Culley to turn it around or anything, but they underestimated just how hard it can be to stand up in a press conference a couple times a week and to stand on the sideline alone.
Yeah. Hey, we got. I'm about to ask everybody out there to leave Coach K over at North Shore out of this mix. Coach K over at North Shore is doing a good job. Culley ain't taking his job.
He might
job.
Be on the list. Should I put up an approval rating for him?
That was a compliment to it, right? He's saying like, you got to coach at North Shore or Katy or any of these schools in Texas, it's a big deal. It's damn near like you're coaching a pro program when it comes to the scrutiny.
It's true.
Maybe more so when it comes to the scrutiny.
Yeah, because you live right next door to your fans. Like, they all live in your neighborhood.
Yeah, if you're talking about rabid high school football fans, if Culley got up and gave answers like that after losses, I don't think he'd be long for that team.
You talking about forgetting guys' names and things like that?
Well,
creating
too.
Plays in the fourth quarter on the final drive?
Thinking you called a timeout was actually an incomplete pass or vice versa.
Deciding to go up-tempo at around Thanksgiving. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the phones. Ron, you're up on Sports Radio 610. What's going on, Ron?
All right. Who idea was it to bring in Culley anyway, man?
Well, I mean, technically Nick Caserio hired him. We don't know who all was rubber stamping the decision, but it was Nick Caserio's hire.
Well, that's the one he'd be fired, man. Y'all know that man was set up for failure, man. You know, he
we've said
no
that like 18
business.
Times. Yeah, we've said that. Yeah. He's not being fired because they had a losing record.
You're right.
And you know, I see a lot of people jumping on him, but he didn't have nothing to play with, man. You know what? And as far as North Shore, man, you know, that's the dynasty in Houston, man. They need to be getting a lot of talk in Houston, man.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, let me ask you this about David Culley. So it sounds like you think Culley should have kept his job. Am I right in that?
Man, I mean, yeah, I think he should have kept him one more year, but I knew he wasn't, man. I've already read through
what was he? Well, let me ask you, what was he in your opinion, because this fascinates me, in your opinion, what was he particularly good at?
He was set up for failure.
Not my question. What was David Culley?
No. I'm just telling you, he was set up for failure.
You said it three times, and now I'm asking you a question. Yeah. What was David Culley good at?
Hey, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But, hey, can I speak on that?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, I know the players played hard for him.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, they did. No, they played, and a lot of them were on one-year contracts. You know, I'm guessing he's not the only one that could have gotten the guys to play hard. But in terms of impacting winning, what was he particularly good at?
Well, I mean, what was the other coach good at last year when O'Brien and a lot of other guys were there?
Right.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think that this is the problem. Regardless of why the Texans fired Culley or when they were going to do it, I would be a little bit alarmed if they didn't have a really good plan for right now for who they wanted. Like I don't think they are like the caller said, and as we've been saying, he's been set up. Culley was not set up to win games with his football team this year.
Yeah.
They were trading away guys like Bradley Roby right at the beginning of the season. Right. They traded away other good football players. Like, they were trying to clear the deck, and they didn't expect this year to be good.
We agree with the caller on that.
Right.
Yes.
It's a matter of, though, this is what you signed on for. So if you are stepping away from it, you either botched the bridge coach hire. If you stepped away from it without having basically the next guy hired, then you couldn't even hire a bridge coach, right? So I gotta hope that they actually have one of the guys that they wanted all along pretty much in the fold.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the case, if we sit here and it's a month before they've hired another coach, then this will be the botching of all botch jobs.
Yep.
Because they couldn't even hire a coach that they intended to lose properly.
Yeah. It's already not a great look. You're absolutely right.
Hey, I keep hearing this, guys, and it frustrates the hell out of me. I mean, I've got a little bit of experience, I think, with a little bit of the Patriot tree. Those players, the phrase "they played hard for Culley" is way overblown. There is they play hard for their job. That's how Bill Parcells was. That's how Bill Belichick was and is. And I'm willing to bet you 99.9. I'll bet a huge chunk on it. That's the way Nick Caserio is. And you're told very clearly, show up and do your job every day. Bust your ass on the practice field, in the weight room, eat right, be on time. Yeah. Bust your ass on the game field. And if you don't, you're going to be up out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm tired of hearing about where they played hard for him. And I've heard that a lot over the year. At this point, come on, man. Bill Parcells walked in and said real quick, half step if you want to. In any facet of the game of football, and let me find out about it, you're going to be out of here. And people played hard for that. Nobody played hard for Campo. Nobody's playing hard for Cully. They're playing hard to pick up their paycheck on Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's the kind of team this was. They had over half the roster was guys on one-year contracts.
Well, teams on a contract here. Yeah.
And very few rookies. Like, Clint, you've been on teams where you got a whole bunch of rookies or young players, and then, yeah, things can fall apart because those guys don't get it yet. You know, like yeah. those guys just flat out don't understand the deal and like that you're always on audition in the NFL.
Seth, I was on one of those. I was stuck down in the marsh mud bogging for 3 years in the NFL at 5'11 with a bunch of youngsters that couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. It's a mess.
It's
really a mess. So, I mean, I would give Cully credit for it is that there are guys that just completely just stop. I mean, there's NFL head coaches that basically, you know, check their ticket at 5 p.m. and are like just not operating the way NFL coaches normally operate. I think there are some good things Cully did. It's just it was never, ever remotely anything that made it look like, oh, yeah, you know what? They found a diamond in the rough here. Yeah, they're going to boy, this is the guy to do it. And I think just given the level of just non-comprehension that he had sometimes about what happened in the game that he just played, I got to think that inside the walls and talking to players and coaches, it was that much worse.
Yeah.
And it was that much more glaring.
All right, that's Seth Payne. That's Clint Sterner. I'm Sean Pendergast. And I got to go home now. I got to stretch my hammies out here and try out my takes. And I get to do them tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with you, Seth. So I'm heading out. I don't know who's hot tagging in here, if it's Landry or if it's Show or who's coming in, but we've got Wade Smith. We've got John Lopez coming in along the way as well. Jim Mudd behind the glass in there. Special programming here on Sports Radio 610. The firing of David Cully. We'll continue to dig into it till 9 o'clock tonight. Also, quick programming note, 11 a.m. tomorrow, Nick Caserio meets with the media. So I'm sure that's something we'll be carrying live here on Sports Radio 610 during In the Loop. 11 a.m. tomorrow, Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, meets to explain the firing of David Cully and where the Texans go from here. I will see you all at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Special programming continues. The firing of David Cully next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.